wait until I sign off. But I want to press one after I disconnect.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Hesitates to believe in the unknowing being. We can see history of this great country made a lot of mistakes along the way. Now we see a dire need to believe in something greater than all the things on our mind today. How many deaths can we die? How many tears can we cry? When will we spread our
Assalamu alaikum, and that is the peace that only the Creator, Almighty God, Allah, can give, be with you. We want to welcome you to this edition, Thursday night, Not Just Talk, on AM360.org. Tonight we have a guest, Keith Rashid Nouri, a a food revolutionary, and we want to welcome him. He's been involved with agriculture and growth on a number of different levels, and I'm anxious to get started with this conversation. We want to welcome you to the Not Just Talk program. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Nuri, Brother Rashid. Welcome.
Yes, sir. Walaikum salam. How are you, brother?
I'm well, and yourself?
Pleasure to be tonight.
To God. Thankful that you're with us. We've been talking about you, and some individuals, they do know you. Praise be to Allah. And I'm hoping that this audience and this conversation will get those to know you better, and the kind of work that you've been involved in for just about a lifetime.
Yes, sir. That's true.
Or you know, the institutional lifetime, or the beginning, I should say, is about 20 years, and you've been in this how long now? The agricultural, the food revolutionary business.
Oh, since the late 60s.
Yes, sir.
Well over 50 years, brother.
Praise be to God. I'm anxious to get started. I would like for you to share with the audience your early development. Now, I've got your book, and I explained to you I've got some challenges with reading, but I've enjoyed what I've read, and this conversation is going to, I'm sure, move me to read further, even though it might be untraditional way of cover to cover, not cover to cover reading. But your early beginnings, and if you will, connect them with your movement towards the earth, the growing, producing in the earth. And the thought came to me before we came on: how and at what time was the great scientist, Dr. George Washington Carver, how did he influence your life, and where did you meet him, so to speak?
Well, that's great. We can start there. I met Carver when I was a very young man. I can remember in elementary school they had these books. They had blue covered hardback books, and one of them that I read, I've always been a voracious reader, and one of them was about George Washington Carver. So I've known about him for a very long time. And, you know, most of us think of George Washington Carver as the peanut. That's the thing that people want to believe. He discovered peanut butter, but he didn't. But George Washington Carver is a very significant personage in history. He saved Southern agriculture. Cotton had worn out. The soils of the South. This is where all the cotton came for the garments that Americans wore and for shipment overseas. But the boll weevil took over, and during the same period when Carver went to Tuskegee and he taught people how to rotate the crops, putting in soybeans, sweet potatoes. Part of the rotation with the cotton and rebuild those soils. We taught farmers how to farm and literally saved American agriculture in the South. His work was very important.
And about what age did you come in contact with?
Contact was when I was in elementary school. I mean, I can't say that his importance became better understood as I got older. But Carver's had a tremendous role in history. I didn't know about all the things he had done and the extent of his work. It was just one of them simple children's books given a biography. Folks, but the political implications of it weren't made at that time, and I certainly didn't understand it. So I'm not
understood, but he was a seed. It was a seed, so to speak.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, I recently I have come into an awareness of maroonage. I've been following this duo on YouTube, Karen Hunter, Professor Karen Hunter, who's also a serious radio personality, and Dr. Greg Carr, Afrocentric or Africana Studies a professor at Howard University, in the home of my birth, D.C. And the program is in class with Carr. And I became aware of this, what I'm about to ask you, maroonage, or that group of people. And if you could describe for me, you know, your insights or knowledge of this group called the
Maroons?
They weren't Maroons, yes.
Oh, yeah, I am one. Yeah, on my father's my grandmother's from Mandeville in Jamaica, and it was there up in the hills and the mountains of Jamaica where the Maroons were, and those are the folks that defended their land from the invaders. And that goes back many, many years. So that, I'm not sure if that's the same thing that they're being taught
is.
In that class. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
and,
yeah,
so
yeah,
that's
they,
my,
they talk.
Go ahead. Yeah, I mean, so that's my people, and it perhaps in some ways explains my attitudes towards so many things, rebellious, revolutionary. Yes, sir.
Well, that's what I noted when I read Food Revolutionary. To go further, these folks went toe to toe with government to preserve not only their land, freedom of their usage of land, but their freedom from enslavement. You know, and that's the spirit. May not be a whole lot of us, but that's the spirit in many of us. You know, not to have our souls enslaved, you know. And
yes, sir. Are you a Maroon?
I feel it in my bones.
Yes.
I haven't researched like you have, but I remember an experience for a brief time. I've never shared this with anyone, particularly on the air, but for a brief time, I was incarcerated in the D.C. jail. I was a young man in my 20s. And I had this, it was like a vision, because I wasn't asleep. I was awoke, but I had a sense of a presence of enslaved. I was in circumstances where I was in the jail of the jail. I was in the hole, as they call it. And I had this vision of being enslaved, and as it turned out, me and a couple of other guys, we found a way to get out of the hole, and we were quickly straightened out. You know, we talked among those who were in that situation, and there had to be at least 10. But when the real deal went down, it was only 3 of us, and they beat the hell out of us.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Yeah. So I've never told that before, but that maroon spirit, you know, came to my mind, particularly connected with Food Revolutionary, and we want to get into that. But tell us a little bit more about your family, you know, your coming up, as it relates to moving towards this Food Revolutionary idea.
Well, see, that's the amazing part of my story, brother. There's nothing in my family. My father is a Jamaican from New York. My mother is pure Yankee from just outside of Boston. There's no agriculture in my family line whatsoever, because the folks, my mother, them Yankees have been free for a long time up there in New England, and my father coming from Jamaica. Jamaica had been independent for a long time, so I don't have that, and I didn't come south until Imam Muhammad sent me down to manage the nation's farms back in 1975. So it's okay. By God's grace that I got involved with this work. And when I, you know, although I had started gardening back in the late 60s, I got my calling called when I was in school writing a paper on theory and practice comparing the work of Jomo Kenyatta in Kenya and Julius Nyerere in Tanzania. And I had a, it was, God spoke to me, came down and told me to learn everything about food from the seed to the table and to do it experientially. You know, and this, like I said, writing the paper on theory and practice, and those two brothers did a whole lot to help create the post-colonial Africa. Agriculture was a part of the process. They had different modalities that they employed to do their work. But out of that is when it became clear. Now, I'd been interested in health and nutrition, had been studying that, and then just as clear as the bell, I call it my burning bush experience, when God spoke to me and said, learn everything about food from the seed to the table and do it experientially, not just read it in books and pontificate on it, actually go do the work. And that's when I set out. So after I finished that undergraduate work, I went to grad school and took a degree in plant and soil science, a master's degree, and I got through there pretty quick because I knew what I was trying to do. I was interested in how you build nations. In order to build a nation, you got to be able to feed, clothe, and shelter your people. So what they taught me at the University of Massachusetts was what has become the traditional chemical agriculture, big ag modalities in this country, and I knew I didn't want to do that. I was interested in natural and organic agriculture, farming. And so I had to unlearn. I didn't know what I got out of the graduate school experience. I learned the names of the parts of the plants and the different types of soils and some of those technical things. But I didn't learn Go ahead.
No. I'm listening. I'm just commenting. You know.
Okay.
Yes. Go on, please.
Yeah. I didn't learn the organic agriculture that I thought was important. And what I see as the future of agriculture in this country and around the world.
Yes, and this is important, especially today. I had an experience with an older gentleman when I was about 19 or so, and he asked me if I wanted to know the secret of life, greed. I said, yes, sir. You know, I've always been respectful and kind of ear-husking when I was around older people. And he told me the secret of life is knowing what you can do without. Now, we all got to eat. I had an experience. A lady told me about eggs, and I went into the grocery store, and the little tiny eggs were like $3 or more a dozen. And that was a real shock. I don't eat eggs, but, you know, she was just mentioning them. So I looked at the price, and I said, boy, this is ridiculous. So this idea of food revolutionary is very important today. It's something that, in my opinion, we can't do without. You know, there are a lot of things we can do without.
Everybody has to eat. That's the one commonality that all human beings have. And here's an irony. On the news this morning on NPR, they were talking about the fact that egg prices have tripled in the last couple of years. The cost of, you know, since you mentioned eggs, the price of eggs has gone up extraordinarily high, and Americans eat more eggs than any other people on the planet.
Yes, sir. And so we need information on food sources and how to cut expenses. What can we do without? You know, what strategies are necessary? And if you're a revolutionary, you got to be strategic, or you ain't going to win. So,
yes, sir.
So you're here to tell us how to win, brother.
Well, grow something. I think that everybody, I joined the Nation of Islam, and it's part of the conversion that Waris Ad-Din Muhammad brought about. the largest conversion to Orthodox Islam in the history of the world. But
that's
Mr.
Right.
Muhammad, like Muhammad, taught us to do for self. He comes out of
that's
a
right.
long tradition that goes back. I mean, he wasn't the first to say that. I mean, you, Noble Jew Ali, Father Divine, Daddy Grace. When you name all them brothers who studied with Farhad Muhammad back then, came up teaching people to do for self. This is what Marcus Garvey had to say, do for self. He talks about
that's
trying
right.
to be independent from colonialism, from the white supremacy. Booker T, you mentioned George Washington Carver. He was teaching people to do for self, okay? And Booker T. Washington built an institution to teach people to do for self. I remember back when I first came south in 1975, I went over to Tuskegee, went in their library. And it was really amazing to go to a library. This is back when you had still kept the, what do you call it, the cabinets that had the cards to tell you what books they have in the library. And the way the Tuskegee library was index cards, yes. And how the library in Tuskegee was organized, it was like how to paint a house, how to put in a floor. It was all how to. It was very task oriented.
Yes.
That impressed to see that and understand better the work that Booker T had done in collaboration, or George Washington Carver had done in collaboration with Booker T. Washington. So
yes,
that's
sir.
The tradition I come out of, do for self. And so for me to have that instruction, go ahead, brother.
No, I came out of the same tradition. Go ahead, continue.
Yeah, and so that for me to get that instruction from the Most High to do this work, it's made it very easy, because most young people, when they're in their 20s, go, well, what am I going to do with life? What am I going to be when I grow up? Blah, 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 blah. Just going on with all that self-examination process. And I didn't have to do that, because I was told what to do, and that made it easy. And what all our Muslim brothers and sisters will understand, that's when I got Sirat al-Mustaqim, King, straight path. I just knew exactly where I was going. Now, I had no idea the adventures that I was going to experience in that process, but it was clear what God asked me to do, and I've been pursuing that for all these years.
Well, that's wonderful, and we want you to share some of those adventures with us. The experience that we had in the Nation of Islam, I found out a lot more about it after, under the leadership of his son, Wallace D. Muhammad, who described the Nation of Islam as being more than just bean pies and newspapers, that it was a language environment. And my sociological focus came alive, and I looked at the language environment. And yeah, we were told who we were and what we were to do and what must be done.
You know, I just lost the words. When you go to, before you make prayer, you got to make wudu, that preparation for prayer. And I look upon my experience in the Nation of Islam as wudu. We were being prepared. We would say Al-Fatiha, we would pray, we didn't make salat, but we would hold our hands up in front of us. It was baby Islam. Okay.
Yes.
The fact that we fasted in December was so intelligent, because that was the easiest month of the December had the shortest days of the year. Okay?
That's right.
That means our fast from sun up to sundown was made a lot easier. It helped to get us away from Christmas, weaned off of Christmas, and all of us had grown up in Christianity. So it was wonderful preparation. And then his son, Wallace Muhammad, Waiz-ud-Din Muhammad, brought us over to the Orthodox methods of Islam. And it was a beautiful thing. So
Yes.
And that comes, that do it yourself tradition comes from way back. I mean, there were black people on this planet who was teaching that for a long time, but we were suppressed. And the irony is, it's the victors who write the history books. So much of who
yes,
we were, what we did, and the rebellions that we were engaged in has not been in the history books. And in fact, now, the critical race theory, they're getting mad. They're saying, don't teach nothing about black, but about that aspect of the history. Now, they're trying to keep that eliminated so folks won't know. So as Mr. Muhammad used to teach us, we were robbed deaf, dumb, and blind of all knowledge of self. Robbed,
yes.
Deaf, dumb, and blind of all knowledge of self. So it's only been, it has increased. We've gotten better as time has gone on. And I'm so blessed, mashallah, to have been a part of this process of learning who we are and being helping to change that paradigm that began. So when I was asked to come and run the farms, that was soon after. I first thought about doing urban agriculture when I got out of school. And then shortly after that, I got asked to come to Chicago. Brother Amos was the minister in San Diego, and he told the leadership in Chicago about me because I had gone to school and gotten degrees in agriculture, and I was invited to Chicago and given an opportunity to run the farms.
Now, you mentioned something. I want you to explain urban agriculture. Is that the way you described it?
Yeah. Urban agriculture is really simple. It's growing food where the people are.
But I want, that's what I wanted right there.
Yeah. 82% of Americans live in the city. So having our food shipped hundreds and thousands of miles from around the world, around the country, doesn't make sense. Now here, I'm in Atlanta. Atlanta is the greenest city in America by virtue of trees and open space. We can, in the metropolitan area, we can grow all the food, all the fruits and vegetables to feed everybody. Now, not meat and not grain. You have to do that in the country because it takes so much space.
Yes.
But the fruits and the vegetables, grow them here to feed. And the temperature is so ideal. I mean, you can grow food 12 months of the year here. If 82% of Americans live in cities, it doesn't make any, you know, I think we need to bring the food closer to us rather than having to ship it. Now, you know, I tell people, when you fly into New York, or you see all that concrete up there. But there's still hope for them, too. You fly into Atlanta, it's a great big forest with houses dropped in it. And, you know, got plenty open space.
I want you to hold that thought right there. We need to take a public service announcement break. This is Michael Hameen. My guest is Rashid Nouri, food revolutionary. We're talking about agricultural growth, urban agriculture. We're going to talk about his book, Growing Out Loud, and other things. We'll be back after these messages.
Assalamu alaikum. What is your perception of God, revelation, religion, life, family, and more? Join us every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Lou Princess Aziz as she presents Keeping It Real right here on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. American Muslim 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, an intelligentsia component of the community-wide Shura Conference.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waridduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilize the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waridduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, and we're back with more of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, and our guest is K for Keith, Rashid Nuri, food revolutionary. His book is Growing Out Loud, and I kind of smiled before we came on, Brother Rashid. I kind of smiled because you don't think about growth, you know, growth particularly connected with food, you know, the food growing. You don't think about, you know, it being out loud, but you're a different kind of plant from a different kind of seed. And we want to know a little bit about this growing out loud, this idea, and how you structured it, you know, this is your biography, is it not? I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my book is a polemic. I'm giving you my opinions. It's a tutorial. I'm teaching you about agriculture, and it's wrapped around an autobiographical theme. And I'm explaining how I've learned these lessons, what I've learned as I've been blessed to travel this path of life over the past 75 years. It's been a blessing, and putting that book out there was something that I compelled to do. I think everybody got at least one book in them. This is my first. No, it's not my first. It's the one that I put out there. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah, and I was reflecting on the pictures of the growth of seed life, from seed life to the product, the finished product, the fruit of the vegetable. And I was thinking about a question that Muhammad Ali, the boxer and worldwide freedom fighter, I would say, he asked the question of an audience: what's the most important part of a plant? And a number of people, like myself, thought about the root system. But he identified the seed as being most important. And this particular program of Not Just Talk will influence the leaders that if they're not involved in gardening life, I've been acquainted with. I haven't been hands-on with gardening, but I'm acquainted with neighborhood gardening in Birmingham, community garden spot, garden lots, Griffin, Georgia. I'm familiar with a house of worship, small population of Muslims in Griffin, Georgia, growing watermelons and other things for themselves and for the community on public lots. But we want to get into this with you in terms of strategies. A revolutionary activity requires strategy, and we're hoping that we can get some strategies along with getting your book. You know, I've got, in fact, I think I'll share it now. Can they receive the book by getting in contact with your online group, the Nuri Group?
Absolutely. You can buy the book from Amazon. Many bookstores, some bookstores have it. You can get the book from Amazon, or you can get it from me. My website is the Nuri Group, T-H-E, Nuri, N as in Nancy, U-R-I, group.com. And if you buy it from my website, I'll send you, you'll get a signed copy back. I will.
Yeah, well, I've got one, and I encourage the audience to get theirs. And I use Amazon quite a bit, but I made a decision to get it through you directly, the Nuri Group, and I appreciate you signing it for me. And we want, you know, whether it's Plan A or Plan B, we want the audience to get and share this information with their family and friends, so that we really need to have. And please explain again. This is how did you put it? A biography wrapped around. I really like the way you expressed that.
It's a polemic. I give you my opinions about agriculture, and it's a tutorial. I teach you about agriculture, and it's wrapped around an autobiographical theme. So I take you through my course of my life, what I learned, why I learned it, how I learned it, and share that information with you as I've traveled around the world. I've been blessed, brother. I've worked all over this country, and I've worked in about 38 countries around the world. I lived overseas in Africa and Asia, doing agricultural work, doing this work that God told me to do. And again, I'm very pleased now at 75 years old. I'm so grateful to wake up in the morning every day, because I think of all the people that I've known who are not here, and here I got another chance to try to do some work and make a constructive contribution. So it's my prayer that my book is a constructive contribution, giving people information that they didn't have, explaining things as simply and clearly as I can to share this knowledge. Now, if you don't mind, Muhammad Ali saying that the seed was the most important part of the plant, I understand that completely, and I agree. And here's why. Seed is what's going to carry you into the future. If you just focus on the roots of that plant, you're not looking forward, you're not looking ahead to your children and your children's children. Our seed is what creates the next generation. So it's the same way with food. That plant, all these plants, every plant that there is on the planet is trying to reproduce itself. That's its purpose. Okay? That's what the Creator gave us. So that is why the seed of the plant is most important.
Yes, and I hope the audience, I'm hoping that the audience has a pen and paper, because, excuse me for the slang, you're giving up game. you're giving us wisdom that we're going to need this. We really are. You know, I see, you know, not because of my vision alone, but I'm listening to other people. I'm a rubber meets the road kind of guy. And I'm listening to folks that I know more than me, and they're telling us to buckle up. We need to be prepared. I was a Boy Scout at one time. I think you may have been one too. I'm not sure.
Yes, I was.
Thought I did. Okay. Well, you know, being prepared is something that we definitely going to need, especially when the one that gave you your marching orders towards the farm, W.D. Muhammad, the son of Elijah Muhammad, in the latter years of his life, he would oftentimes tell us about the day of elimination. And we're seeing now people are eliminating themselves by the choices that they make in terms of food consumption, in terms of physical food, as well as ideas that they're coming up with in their brains. And it's kind of a crazy time right now. And a friend that directed me to you was telling me about the therapeutic nature of gardening, you know, and I hope you'll get into that too as well.
Yeah, oh, that was an easy one. You know, many of us are not well grounded. If you find somebody who's a little flighty and you say he's not well grounded, think about it. What that means is putting your hands and your feet into the earth, being grounded. And I think that's a very important thing for us. We need to be connected to the earth, connected to the soil.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that is an easy one, you know. I know I spent some time down the country in Virginia, Greene County, Virginia. My grandmother would take us down there from D.C. in the summertime. And I didn't have a lot of connection with gardening, but I do remember once or twice
getting down on my knees with her in the garden, and I remember walking with pails to the spring to get water for the house. We didn't have indoor plumbing, you know. So listen, I've got a caller online. I want to bring them into the conversation. Caller 727-408. Welcome to Not Just Talk. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Bilal from New Orleans, Louisiana. Praise be to Allah. And Brother Rashid, alhamdulillah. Brother Rashid, I don't know whether or not you've been on the program before, but praise be to Allah that Michael bring on the quality people that he brings on the program. Not saying anybody, but everybody not quality, but the fact that you done something that really motivate people to move. So it's something I'm trying to find out to kind of fit with your personality. So this is something I found out from this book.
Bilal, from my
book?
Searching.
Excuse me, yeah.
Bilal,
so, not your book.
I want to share with Brother Rashid. Bilal Abdullah is AM360's poet laureate. He's a very gifted writer in terms of the word in poetic language. And he really hit his stride when he started reading Imam Muhammad's words from the publications edited by Ronald B. Shaheed. He really took off. I think it was after the Searchers, but I'm going to let him share with you some of what he has for us. Go ahead, Bilal.
Very good. This is, alhamdulillah, I'd like to bring this certain name I'd like to bring right from Imam Muhammad. So this is the book from the book Thought for Searching. I'm thinking about Brother Rashid. Man life, as far as worker on the guard, is never finished. There's too much left for him to be idle or retired. So as soon as we complete something, no matter how important it was, we should right away devote ourselves to another task. Now here we got, this is the topic of, we are all orphans. We are all orphans, and we have to be connected back with our true parent. The true parent is a natural person who feels his or her existence on this earth is existence with the material world itself. With existence with the land that produces food, clothes, and shelter, and existence with that land. Manhood needs man to know himself as a product of the earth, evolve or born out of the earth, to work the earth and use it for himself and for the benefit of others. Your manhood needs that. If you accept that, then that is your purpose. That is why you are existing. You will become a better person for yourself, a better person for others, especially your family, and you will become productive. And Brother Rashid, this is Bilal, and you have truly made that you have became that man, and I'm thankful to Allah for meeting you, brother, as a man. So alhamdulillah.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I spent a year in Louisiana. I worked with Father McKnight up in Lafayette, built a farm up in Ville Platte in St. Landry Parish, and that was one of the stops that I've made along the way. MashaAllah.
Yes, praise be to Allah. I'm looking up this word, polemic, Rashid. And again, our guest is Rashid Nuri. And I'm looking up this word, polemic. And it's a speech or piece of writing expressing a strongly critical attack on or controversial opinion about someone or something. Then it's deal with a critical view of something. It can be hostile, but I think what you're describing in this book, as I'm reading, because it's very clear writing. I hope one day to be able to get this at least one book out of myself. And this is inspiring. Your focus is very clear. The way that you express yourself in writing is very clear. So I'm looking at this word, and it, the critical thinking, because I,
you're talking about organic plant growth, but I remember one place where you were covered up in chemicals, man, in your early outing with growth, you know. Tell us about that.
It may have been the very first garden that I put it together. This is San Diego. And I had some corn out in the yard, and I got a corn worm, and I went and got some spray. I mean, I covered the whole garden with just white. I had a powder all over me. I didn't know any better. You know, I wish I had a picture of that time. But I had to learn. I had to begin somewhere.
Yeah, I wanted you to describe that because it is a learning process. I haven't had much experience with it. I hope, you know, it's something for me to do in the future that if the Creator spares my life, I'll be able to get my hands into the ground and plant some seeds and grow something that I can say, okay, I did this with my own hands and with God's help and with the rain and so forth. The sunlight, and now I've got this for me, and I've got some to share.
Amen. Amen. Inshallah. Amen.
Now, you mentioned also a tutorial approach in this book. So give us a few lessons in terms of early beginnings growing food, growing our own food. And perhaps even for maybe a little something for those from your bag, so to speak, in terms of those that may have a little bit more experience. Would you share some of that with us?
I've never had anybody ask me that before. Here's the kind of tutorial that I have in the book. It's not, if you want to know how to take a seed, put it in the ground, and grow some stuff, there's a lot of books that can teach you that kind of elementary agriculture. Now, what I've tried to show is how the system works, the agricultural systems and how they're connected. And it puts most of us in a bad position. Here, here's one of the lessons that I explained. When you go to the grocery store, I don't care if you're a vegan, vegetarian, carnivore, where you want to shop is around the periphery, along the walls in the grocery store, because that's where you find the real food. Okay, you got the vegetables, you got the meats, you got the seafood, the dairy. All those foods are around the periphery, along the walls of the school, and the fresh vegetables, I guess, and fruits. What you find in the middle are all the processed foods, all the canned foods, which are the things that it's best for us to stay away from because they are processed, right? And we should eat around the periphery, around the exterior of the store. If you buy food, you need to look at what's in it. If you buy processed food, the stuff's in the middle, you need to look at it and see what's in it. If it has more than five ingredients, it's not food. If it has stuff in there that you cannot pronounce or don't know what it is, it's not food. We need to stay away from it. I had breakfast with a young man today. He's too young to remember. But you and older listeners remember when they sold us Wonder Bread, build your body in 12 different ways. You remember that?
Yes, sir. Yes, I do.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the joke is, that's because they were selling us that white bread, so soft, you squeeze it into a ball and threw it and stick on the wall. And they didn't tell
I didn't throw it on the wall. I didn't throw it on the wall, but I used to take the crust off and ball it up, though, and eat it.
and eat it, yes. But what they didn't tell you is if you had whole grain bread, whole grain wheat, it would build your body in 52 ways. Okay?
Oh, wow.
So they're making you think. Yes, sir. There were 52 ingredients in a whole grain that was not in that white bread of Wonder Bread. But they sold us, Wonder Bread is great because it builds my body in 12 different ways, when you, what they really meant is you missed 40 of the ingredients that could have been there had you had whole grain bread.
That's a whole nother program, man. The white bread against the whole grain, you know, and the psychology of white this and white the other, you know, that's a whole nother program. And I'm sure you're up to the task of sharing it with us. But I want to deal with, I've been working with for this year, starting this year and part of last year, the idea that the old man gave me about knowing what you can do without. And how can we have a simple diet that will sustain us? You know, you've been working with various types of foods. What food will sustain us? You know, do we have to have this well-rounded diet, which they've been challenging, you know, meats, so many vegetables, so many fruits, you know, what does the body have to have?
Well, what they used to teach us on about the food pyramid and eating three meals a day, all that, that's wrong. You go back to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught. It was very funny. He told us to eat once a day, you know, every other day. That's pretty extreme. But if you eat around the periphery of the grocery store, where the fresh fruit, all the dairy goods, the meat, the seafood, those are the foods that we need to eat. All that canned processed food has all those chemicals in it, and that's not what we need to eat. The food scientists think that they can break it down and then reconstitute it that they know more than God does. And that's just a mistake. They don't know more than God.
Yeah.
Eat the food, the natural foods. Then the next step is to get those fresh foods organic. If you're going to eat fish, you have a choice between a farm-raised fish and a wild-caught fish. Eat the wild-caught fish. If you have a choice between an organic fruit and vegetable and the chemical kind, get the organic, the natural. So you want to continue to choose, but just start by eating live, fresh foods, and you'll do well.
Okay. Now that brings me to a question that's in the news when you see folks like Bill Gates buying up hundreds of thousands of acres of farmland and I'm not sure the alphabets, the GMOs, but, you know, these seeds that won't produce seeds, you know, tell us
a little bit
about that. And how can we deal with it? We want a garden. Where can we get seeds that will produce seeds?
Oh, at seed exchanges where you are online, you can buy, you want hereditary, non-GMO, hereditary seed. You don't want hybrid seed. So that requires you to go back to the same company that sold it to you because you can't. Let me back up another step. The whole concept of tithing, where people give 10% of their earnings to their church or their master or however, that comes from agriculture.
Yes.
Because you grow food and you want to save a tenth of your seed for the next year's crop. And then you can put that back, and then you get 10 ears of corn, you save one, put those seeds back into the ground to next year, and you can continue to grow. All right, so we can start there.
That reminds me of Joseph. That reminds me of Joseph in the Bible and the Quran, you know, preparing for hard times by putting something up.
That's right. We used
to do that with cannon stuff.
Yes, sir. I mean, and the stuff you can fresh vegetables and you put them away so you can have it for the future. So you start there. You want the seeds that you want are open pollinated, non hybrid seed, the same kind of seed that you could save and plant next year. Okay. These genetic modifications, GMO, and hybrid seeds, you can't plant those back because, you know, they have sometimes these seeds will have two or three generations to get a particular attribute. And think of this. When you go look at tomatoes in the grocery store, You ever notice how every single tomato looks exactly the same?
I have.
That's not natural. That's not natural. In the garden, they're gonna. Some will have little lumps in them here and there. They're gonna look. They do not all look exactly the same. And how they're able to do that is because the food scientists have manipulated those plants and created those fruits and vegetables to make them all look exactly the same. And that's not the way God did. They don't.
Yes, you're
just
right.
Like human beings, we may be all black people. But that doesn't mean everybody looks alike. They got variations.
Well,
that's the same way in the garden.
We used to say, you might be my color, but you're not my kind.
That's true, too. That is true, too.
Yes. Listen, I can appreciate this. This idea of hereditary seed, and you mentioned an exchange. What's it called again?
Seed exchange.
Seed exchange, okay.
S-E-E-D, seed exchange. People come together and exchange seeds with each other.
Ah.
And it happens all over the country.
That's wonderful.
The stuff I grow, you may like, you have something I like, and we can exchange seeds. And they do that all over the country.
Okay. And with the internet, we can get right on that. Yes, thank you.
Absolutely.
Praise be to God. This is wonderful. Our poet laureate is back. I'm gonna bring him in because he really adds flavor to the program. And Bilal, if you will, go ahead.
Okay, Alhamdulillah. I just want to, seek and I give something to the conversation. So this is something again from Thought Researcher. Compilation of Imam Watadi Muhammad. And it's thought like this. Man first off from the ground. After a while, the public life becomes such a big life with comforts and everyday built into it that it becomes a life separate from the material efforts of man. It becomes education, schools, churches, religious places of worship, and cultural places. It becomes a government, political owner, all of these developments. Now we have a new reality, and it's not the original ground that man survived upon. Thus man's work has been brought into another world. Man's work has given us man's world. For want of a better expression, I say man's world. It's not the ground producing the thinking, the human sensitivities, the spirit, and all that makes up my soul or my life. It's not the ground anymore feeding that directly, but it's a new order, a new man-made order that is feeding that. So the ground is not producing us directly anymore. It is a city life or the community life that is producing us. We're getting our new minds and our new leaders, our new careers, our new occupations, and whatever we are getting, all from this new reality. It has now become the mother. It's not the mother now, not Mother Earth. It is society that is giving birth to us. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Thank you, Jalal. I appreciate you sharing that. Because what Brother Rashid Nuri represents is basics. This is basics. And you don't hear a whole lot of it, but there is a voice that's saying we need to get back to basics. There's certain standards that have helped us to survive, as a human family group. And there's certain things that we're going to have to do without. The kind of times that we're in now are, in my opinion, helping us to make the choices of what we got to have and what we can do without. And I really appreciate and value your voice, Brother Rashid Nuri, in this regard.
Another question I have for you, and we got a caller, I see you, just hold on one moment. I want to ask you, do you teach gardening? You know, how are you, I have your book, and you're transferring certain Pomic ideas about food and, you know, giving certain lessons. I really like the fact that your connection with those revolutionaries in Africa, how you have been able to transfer certain things from that, you know, that educational educational experience in studying. Did you say Jomo Kenyatta, and who was the other one?
Julius Nyerere. He was in Tanzania.
Yes. Yes. And what did you get from your study of them that you were able to transfer to your revolutionary thinking about food?
Well, man, these are the things that we talked about. I mean, it was at that time that I got that revelation that God spoke to me. If I was going to pick one African leader who taught me the most, it was Kwame Nkrumah of Ghana.
Yes.
Ghana was the first sub-Saharan African country to gain independence from European colonialism. He wrote so many books, Neocolonialism, Last Days of Imperialism, African Socialism. I mean, he had a dozen books that he wrote, and the ones that I have right here on the shelf here in my office, all underlined and highlighted with the knowledge that I got from him. And what he did in Ghana was a major instructor for me, because Ghana then and now still produces some of the finest cacao or cocoa in the world. And what the Europeans did, the Ghanaians were growing this cocoa and shipping it to Europe, and then having it come back as candy bars. Okay. When they got mad at Nkrumah for talking about a United States of Africa, they, making a long story short, they cut him off, stopped buying those beans, and created the economic climate that led to the coup that put him out of power. And the step that was missing, instead of shipping those raw beans to Europe to be processed, they could have been or should have been processed right there in Ghana.
Yes.
So they could take those different elements. They could send that to Europe and let them do whatever they want to. But the controlling that product should happen in Africa. And you look at what's going on in Africa today, you're finding more and more of that actually happening. People like Ali Koudan. Go ahead.
I have seen that as a strategy where Africa has been seen as the raw materials place, and the price for raw materials is yes sir, but raw materials are a lower price in value on the global market than those things that have gone through some type of processing. And you've got, Africa is just rich in so many ways. I got a caller here, brother Rashid.
Yes, sir.
He and his partner are involved with a product from Ethiopia, the black seed. He's unable to advertise that directly, but he does have a partnership with both of them are from the Nation of Islam experience and following the leadership of Imam Muhammad. They're students of Imam Muhammad. I'm going to bring him on board. This is DeLacy Omar, Imam DeLacy Omar. Welcome to Not Just Talk.
Assalamu alaikum to you all and to the listeners. Thanks, Brother Rashid, for your due diligence in agriculture and sharing your experience. Looking forward to your book, your book as well. Wanted to just mention something hit me when you were talking about eating from the peripherals of the store, around the store, you know, and the prophet, he instructed us to eat from the edges of the plate, not to go into that middle and eat, you know. And I thought I started to picture in the store in my mind and how it's laid out. And as you mentioned, all of the fresh foods, important foods, are right near you. Yeah, so eating from what's near you is a great prophetic sin, and you just demonstrated that for us as well.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. It's the instruction that the Most High Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me to do. But if you go to the Middle East and other parts of the world where you eat from a collective plate, you only use your right hand.
And, yes.
And you eat from what's right in front of you. You don't go reaching all the way across the table. And that's why,
right. Yeah.
And under Sharia law, which if a thief, it took me a long time before I understood this. I'm not giving a judgment on the Sharia law itself, but if a thief was being punished, you cut off his right hand, which meant that he could not only lose your hand, but you couldn't come to the community table and eat with your left hand, because the left hand is the one that you use to clean yourself after you've gone to the offices of nature.
Yeah.
You follow that?
Right. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Yeah, because the last thing you can do, if you sit at a table and use your left hand, everybody's going to get up and walk away. Just don't do that.
Yeah, so thank you, Brother Rashid. Thank you, Michael, for bringing him on, and looking
thank
forward
you.
To that book.
But let me
ask
you
a question, brother. I look forward to sending it to you.
Imam Delucci, before you go,
yes, sir.
I want to ask you, because this is right in line with what our guest is offering, not just in terms of what's obvious, but also in terms of, in my opinion, in terms of the spirit of what he brings to the table. You talked on your program. You have a program, Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, that comes on Saturdays at 10 o'clock. It's just at the same station, AM 360, and the same phone numbers. And you talk about this idea of family businesses. And just share a little bit of that, and also this idea of we've talked about ethos, the need to get over this not being a team player, being a rugged individual, and finding ways where we can trust to work together. If you just share a little bit of that with us.
Yeah, and I'll begin with, you know, Imam Muhammad pointing out to us about our experience through the over passage and up, and our Jim Crow development, and how that has been such a traumatic experience. And he felt that we have lost our cultural essence. And he mentioned that we need to have a philosophy for life. We need to dwell on a philosophy for life, such as what you're presenting here. This is something that can be used to develop life. He said, but we should dwell on it in a sacred unity, And, so I've been emphasizing those particular things that we can implement in our lives. And certainly what you bring is one of those. And one of the things I've been focusing on is encouraging home-based businesses and, everyone in the neighborhood having getting the right credentials to be able to buy wholesale, purchase wholesale, and circulate your product near you and with others, et cetera, et cetera. But let every home think of it as a business, because homes are businesses, and there should be also a consciousness that we can develop our loss of business development by starting in the home-based businesses and letting it grow out from there. Thank you. Just being briefly, that's something we are trying to work on and encourage as we are trying to rebuild our lives. Thank you so much again, brother.
I
can
do.
Can I add something
I want
to
brothers.
That?
Yes, please.
Yeah. There's an old ancient African proverb. If you want to go fast, go by yourself. If you want to go far, go together. Bring
yes,
others
sir.
With you. And I think that's the same. That's another way of expressing what Imam Muhammad was talking about.
I agree. And I was visualizing as Imam DeLacy was sharing an idea of a collective group garden. And I was just thinking about the strategy or the dynamics of those members involved in that, you know, households sharing tomatoes and having some tomatoes for sale. You know, my daughter lives in a housing development, what they call a project. And she has become the candy lady, you know, selling candy to the children. But I was thinking, well, can't we take that idea and make it healthier and sell things from the garden, you know?
Inshallah.
A way of creating, you know, some type of economic movement. It doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be a big issue, but us showing ourselves that we can be productive and be cooperative. You know, I can't buy everything I need. I can't buy everything I need from black folks, and especially quality black folks, men and women, you know, with standards and all. But I can put on my mind that I'm going to shop. I'm going to do my best to look for those individuals, those men and women that are in some type of business that I can support with my money, you know. And I think gardening is an idea. That can help us with this, developing this economic energy, you know?
That's right. That's
praise
right.
be to Allah. Our program is scheduled from 8 until 9:30 Eastern. If you're just joining us, not just talk, our guest is Rashid Nouri of the Nouri Group. Also the author of Growing Out Loud, A Journey of a Food Revolutionary. And we're going to be back with him and what he has to share with us after these messages. Stay tuned.
Assalamu alaikum. God's peace be upon you. You are invited to CWSC National Town Hall, straight to the point, the 50-year human family planning. That's every second Saturday, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for 5 to 7 hours. Yes, you've heard it right, and we need your contribution. You want to be a part of the discussion and the solution, please dial 910-317-0297. Again, we are inviting you to join us every second Saturday for the discussion and for solutions to the 50-year human family planning. It is a CWSC National Town Hall, straight to the point. Your contribution is needed. We want to be informed, we want to implement, and we want to initiate documents. We have identified that we do need a 50-year human family planning. Let's remake the world into a better place. God's peace be upon you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dafrita Hadi, director of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and host of Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic radio station, asking you to join me Saturday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, to share stimulating Islamic information and insight as we unite our spiritual and intellectual perceptions and cultivate our human existence together. Inshallah, I will hear you at the lab. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain Nation is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is black come and see. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Support the healthy immune system. Give a body boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Cereal Conference and AM 360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
And we're back with more of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, and our guest this evening is Keith Rashid Nouri. And he's sharing with us his insights of decades of involvement in growing food on an international level, as well as the involvement with the food and gardening here in the United States. Can I say safely that you've been a world traveler in terms of this focus, Brother Rashid?
Oh yeah, yes sir, that's true. I've been blessed, brother. There are a lot of people who have a greater knowledge, a greater depth of knowledge in any particular area of agriculture, but there are not many people who've had the breadth of experience that I've had. Just to give you a couple of examples, in addition to running
Please.
At a very young age, being responsible for 13,000 acres of land that was owned by the Nation of Islam, I built farms down in Louisiana. I went to work for Cargill, the largest privately owned company in the world. And for them, I ran a soybean processing plant in Georgia. I went to Southeast Asia, worked in all the non-communist nations in Southeast Asia for feed, seed, poultry, with the areas that I was involved with. When I left there, came back to the United States, and I went to work at the U.S. Department of Agriculture under Secretary Mike Espy, the only black Secretary of Agriculture. What else I've done?
Yeah.
I went to Ghana to buy the cotton business there. I've been blessed, brother. And then I spent all these years doing this urban agriculture here in metropolitan Atlanta. So it's been a wonderful ride. I'm, as I told you earlier, so grateful to wake up in the morning. It's been a wonderful life.
Yeah.
Been able to raise my children. I had someone tell me some time ago that a true sign of success is if your children are doing better than you do. And
yeah, that's part
in my case,
more than just material.
Yes, sir. And my children are doing much better than I am, so I'm grateful.
That's a wonderful thing, you know. I threw that more than just material in because, you know, so much is looked upon, and I see some of what's happening here in America as the Creator calling us to get our priorities straight. And, you know,
Amen.
so many people are doing better than their parents materially, but are in worse shape spiritually. And intellectually, in terms of rubber meet the road, common sense.
You're right.
So I'm just happy, you know. This is my opinion. When you're working with the land, you're working with the ground. You know, we say rubber meet the road, but that first expression was the hands meet the seat, meet the soil. You know.
you got to be grounded,
that's the word I'm looking for. Yeah, you mentioned that earlier, you know, hands and feet. They got an expression nowadays, being 10 toes down. They're talking about being grounded, you know, but they got to dress it up, you know.
They got this new slang that they're throwing out there in the world. But I know what they're talking about. Yeah. So we're just happy, man. I'm just really excited in terms of what you can, what you have shared and what you can continue to share. The line is open for you if you want to press one. We've got a repeat caller. I see you, but I want to let the audience of listeners have a chance to comment or ask questions, even if you just say thank you. I don't press it like this often, but, you know, there are a number of you on the line here now. And even if you can just show, you know, you appreciate the fact that Brother Keith is taking his time out. Pardon me, Brother Rashid, it's Keith as well. He's taking time out from his life and his comfort to share time and experience with us. So, caller, welcome, 205-400. State your name and where you're calling from. Are you on mute?
Which number did you call out?
205-401. I've called your number.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I misheard you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Welcome.
I'm calling because
wait. I know you, but the audience doesn't know you. State your name and where you're calling from.
All right, I'm Fauzia Ali, and I'm calling from Rochester, Minnesota.
Thank you.
And
How are you doing, Fauzia?
I'm good. Alhamdulillah. I would like to hear Brother Rashid talk a little bit more about the Truly Living Well Urban Agricultural Center in Atlanta and the range of various projects and programs that they did there over the last, 15 years or so?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Talking about models, he has done a model that we need to know about.
Thank you. I'm happy to ask that. You know, I've programs that I've been involved in. I get stuck at what I was doing 50 years ago, and what was more recent didn't hear. My earliest work was in urban agriculture in San Diego County, where I worked with children in schools. We had a urban farm in San Diego. I did outreach there. But Truly Living Well, when I left Ghana, I came back to Atlanta to start Truly Living Well, the Center for Natural Urban Agriculture. And we twice built the largest farm in the city. At one point we started 4 food co-ops. We had 7 sessions of summer camp for the children. We did training. We had training classes. We would do 2-hour brief things on a Saturday morning. We had weekend intensives. We had 3-month programs, 6-month programs where we trained people. So by God's grace, today in Atlanta, so many people have come through our program. There are 2 young brothers who work for Truly Living Well who are the urban ag directors in Atlanta and in East Point here. And done just a lot of outreach. We have farmers markets a couple of times a week where we sold food. And mashallah, I'm blessed to be able to participate in the development, the training of folks here and abroad. That's just a very brief summary. And all of this stuff is explained in the book.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments? Of Fauzia?
No, not really. I just think that we need to keep focus on currently what people can do, and also remember how what we do with the earth is also things that Allah tells us in the Quran we should be doing or be aware of or learn from. So there's a natural connection between Allah's revelation in Quran, and then how do we apply what we're learning in agriculture, urban agriculture, what's been done with Truly Living Well in Atlanta, as well as other projects around the United States and the world, are examples of things that we can do and apply wherever we are. When we had Brother Rashid on the program at Birmingham Islamic Center a couple of weeks ago, a couple of the questions were really interesting. One in particular was about what happens if your soil, your land, has been deemed unfit for agriculture because of we call it industrial pollutants. You know, the EPA has come through and said, hey, in this neighborhood, you should not be growing anything because of industrial pollutants. So I would like Brother Rashid to speak to that, because that's the reality in many urban areas around the country.
Good question. There are a number of things you can do. You can grow the plant. There are plants that you grow plants that's going to draw the poisons out of the soil. Okay. And you may first, if you had a very polluted place, you would certainly wouldn't want to eat the food the first year. Mustard greens do a great job of cleaning up the soil. You need to put compost in the soil to feed the soil, to help rebuild it, get the earthworms and the funguses and the millipedes, centipedes, roly-poly, get them all coming back. But one of the easiest things to do, rather than digging down into soil, grow up. What do I mean by that? Use raised beds so that you're controlling the soil that's going in there in the first place, and the roots will have a place that they can go that is healthy and not going to get the poisons and the toxins that are going to come from the pollutants that have been put into the ground. So on our sites here, I built the large ones were primarily raised beds. Did a lot of in-ground growing also. But a raised bed is a lot easier to grow, particularly in urban areas for people who have not been involved in this work before, because you're going up instead of down, digging in the dirt. You're able to create the soil, you have greater weed control, and as those of us who are putting on some years, you don't have to bend down as far as you would.
Yeah.
If you're playing in the dirt, you built it up 12, 15 inches, however deep you make your raised beds. That makes sense?
Okay, now, yeah, well, where you're getting your softball for the raised beds, and do you need to have it tested?
No. Any soil that you buy from either a store, Home Depot, Lowe's, whatever stores you have in your neighborhood, I just lost the word, brother. They've killed anything that's in it. Say it again.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I can't think of the word either, but not for me. Sanitized comes to my mind, but it's another word for it.
That works. That works. They've been sanitized and killed everything in the process, but it's still good dirt and it'll have some of the nutrients there. You got to add the life back into the soil. That's why it's good to put in the earthworms and add mulch and compost so you can put that life back into the soil. That's very important. That's the quickest way to begin to mitigate the problems that you have from soil pollutants.
Okay, praise be to Allah. Any other questions, Fawzia, or comments?
Another one that someone asked was about a senior living in a person living in a senior living facility where they did not have access to outdoors. How does a person, what can a person do to still grow things indoors, and what would be some of the healthier options for what to grow if you're a senior?
Oh, yes,
and,
ma'am.
Yeah.
Grow where you are. If you don't have access outside, you can, in your kitchen window, in your house, you can grow herbs. You can grow all herbs that will season your food. You can grow something. And that's yeah. what I urge people to just grow something. I mean, chives, whatever. There's just so many different herbs.
What about hydroponic? I think that's the word
for
it.
I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't support hydroponics at all. Why? Because there's no soil. It's not the way God grows food. It's not what I see when I look out my window. You know, now there are some plants that grow in water. Seaweed grows in salt water, right? But it's rooted in the sand underneath it. So it's still rooted.
Yeah.
Lilies will grow in a pond, but those lilies reach down, and there has to be some light in that pond to support the lilies. But the majority of food that people eat is not grown in water.
Okay. Thank you for that. Yeah. Listen, we've come to the end of our regular scheduled timing, but we do have some grace period, and I appreciate you staying on with us. If you don't have to go, we open it up for other members of the audience to share. Press 1 to come into the conversation, and thank you, Fazia Ali, for your question and for introducing me to Keith Rashid Nouri. She was my introduction. Sir?
Very good. Well, I thank her also. She's a good sister. And I thank you for having me on. You gave my if you want to get hold of me through my website, thenurigroup.com, where you can get my book. My phone number is 404-520-8331. 404-520-8331. And if there's anything I can do to help you, just give me a call. So I greet all.
Yes, go ahead.
Islamic greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, if you got another minute, Rashid.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to sign right off if you got another minute to spare. If you got to go, we understand.
I have to go because I'm traveling tomorrow, but I got a minute. What you want to do?
Okay, we've got a return caller, and I want to see what he has to contribute. But I want to give the audience one last time to press 1, as Sister did, and to share your question or comment, please. Just press 1 to come into the conversation. We're going to go to Bilal Abdullah for your final comments, Bilal.
Alhamdulillah. Let me see. Praise be to Allah. You know, we have, this is once again a reading from the book, The Office Searches, by Man Muhammad compilation. Say we have the potential in our nature, and in our nature to the height of spirituality, intelligence, and that's in all us, all people. And this God connected Muhammad with that. So we are talking about human potential, human capacity to ascend, to grow, to produce more and become more productive. What is naturally in us? So it is talking about heredity or what is inherent. This ascending and expansion of our nature to take in more and produce or give out more. This is God's purpose for every human being, and therefore it is the divine destiny. So we think of destiny and divine destiny as a place. No, it is not a place. It's a purpose to be reached. And I see Brother Rashid, to me, he had reached that. He continued reaching. Praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. And I thank you, Brother Rashid Nouri, for your modeling community life focus in your life's work and in your organization, truly living well. You remind me of people, believers, and followers of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. And they brought this man that was praying all the prayers and fasting. And they were so proud of him, these followers that brought him to the prophet. But the prophet asked the question, well, who provides for him? Who takes care of him? And they said, we do. And the prophet told him, well, you're better than him. And this is the idea of not just talk and your being on this program.
the idea of doing for self, providing for self, appreciating the use of the muscle of production. You kind of hinted at it, and I think you said it directly as well as hinting at that. What growing things What growing things does for our spirit, for our soul, for our psychology, you know? Can you make that your last word?
It's my last word. Being able to
take
the earth.
You can take two or three.
You know, we talk about communing with nature. We're actually communing with God. Being in the garden connects you with the Creator. And with that, the quote that the story you just told about Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the man who was praying all day, Mr. Muhammad told us back in the day, he says, brother, you can sit in that corner and pray all day for a loaf of bread, but if you don't get up and do some work, you're going to starve to death.
Yeah.
And I never forgot that.
On that note, we want to thank you again. Rashid Nouri, the Nouri Group, as you mentioned, www.thenuri group.com. And you can ask about Truly Living Well. You get further description of that work that's been going on in the Atlanta area for years. And I thank you again, my friend, and looking forward to communicating with you again. Thank you again.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. And thank everybody who's listening. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Appreciate you. Alhamdulillah. And dear audience, we thank you for tuning in. If my outro music is working, I see it's buffering here. But we thank you for joining us. Join us next week for Not Just Talk on am360.org. The media arm of Community Wide Shura Conference, and we make this dua, this supplication. O Allah, guide us among those you've guided aright. Save us among those you save. Bless us in whatever you grant us, and deliver us from the harm that you judge. You judge, and none can judge against you, and those whom you befriend are not disgraced. Assalamu alaikum.
Hesitates to believe in the all-knowing being. We can see history of this great country made a lot of mistakes along the way. Now we see a dire need to believe in something greater than all the things on our minds today. How many deaths can we die? How many tears can we cry? When will we spread our
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.